Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and I'm your host for Inspire Indeed, where we are learning about community issues and the amazing nonprofit organizations that are working to address them. And hopefully, something will be shared that will inspire you to make a difference with your deeds. Today, we'll take some time to learn about the importance of a vibrant arts and culture scene and an easy way to get involved this Saturday. John Bryan is the president of CultureWorks, which is hosting the second annual Culture Expo on Saturday, June 23rd from 10 to 5 at the Science Museum of Virginia. Welcome, John.
Hi, Elaine.
Thanks for being with us today. Before we get into the event that's coming up, let's give the listeners a sense of where the idea came from. What exactly is CultureWorks?
Our tagline is Richmond Region's Champion for Arts and Culture. We were created in 2009 by a process called the Richmond Region Cultural Action Plan, and that involved over 3,000 leaders and residents of the Richmond region. It's our responsibility at CultureWorks to help strengthen arts and culture and then to leverage strong arts and culture as vitality tools to strengthen other things. CultureWorks does four specific things. We give grants, we do advocacy, we act as a catalyst and convener, and we provide lots of other services.
So where do you get the funds to make the awards to carry out your role?
We raise funds from all sorts of sources, from individual persons, foundations, companies. We raise the money from a variety of sources, from corporations, foundations, individuals, and other sources.
Well, judging from your recent national award as the 2012 recipient of Selena Roberts Odom Award for American in the Arts, there must be something great going on with your work. Tell us a little bit about that award and why you were recognized with it.
The Selena Roberts Odom Award actually is named for someone who lived in your former neck of the woods in Portland.
Oh.
She was a great arts advocate for that community, did wondrous things, and then proceeded to have some national roles, including as deputy director for National Endowment for the Arts. Selena died of cancer about a little over 20 years ago, and after she died, a lot of folks put in money to establish an endowment to do an annual award in her honor that would recognize each year someone who has done things to strengthen their arts community. As I say, it's been given 21 years now, and this is the first time it's gone to a Virginian. And one of the reasons I think it came here is because of the vibrant arts community in Richmond. If that were not the case, I don't think the panel would have looked twice.
Well, why is it so important to have a convener for arts and culture? I mean, do you ever hear from people that the arts just shouldn't be a priority when there are so many pressing basic human needs right now?
Yes. In January 2011, there was a guest speaker for the annual Artworks for Virginia conference, a man named Eric Booth, and he provided a statistic that I had not heard. He said that 93% of the people in the United States feel that the arts are fine and dandy, but they're really just entertainment and decoration and shouldn't be considered among the essential things that communities need. So at CultureWorks, we like to say that hospitals and highways are among the things that enable us to live, but the arts are among the things that we live for. The arts are not only important for allowing us to see and understand ourselves and our world better, but they're also important vitality tools to strengthen other things, things like physical fitness, things like healthcare, education, on and on and on.
Can you give us an example of how the arts and culture would impact health?
Right now, there's a great organization in town, Art on Wheels, mm-hmm. that is working with one of our major hospitals in using the arts in a therapeutic manner to help people get well faster. It works. I was in a room about 20 years ago down at Medical College of Virginia at the VCU Health Systems with a group of patients who had gotten long-term care, including a 15-year-old girl who was autistic and had never spoken. There was a music therapist there working with them, someone who was a guitar player, and using that art form as a vitality tool for helping these people. And during that session, I watched this 15-year-old girl respond by speaking the first word she'd ever spoken. Her parents were there. That guitar, that art form, was the vitality tool for opening a door for that young woman. So
that's
those are
incredible.
A couple of examples of healthcare.
That's incredible. Yeah. Well, like you said, what's the tagline again? It's art is what we actually live for.
Yeah, hospital and highways are among the things that enable us to live. Mm-hmm. The arts are among the things that we live for.
Well, that's reasonable, and that's a good response to some of the folks who may potentially be critics of your work. But you do have something really exciting coming up. This Saturday, on June 23rd, CultureWorks is hosting the Culture Expo at the Science Museum of Virginia. Tell us what this event is all about.
This is a spotlight on our region's arts and culture organizations. It's an opportunity to see them all and meet them all and talk with them all one day under one roof. You can renew your museum membership, buy your season subscription, enroll in a class, and on and on and on. The idea was from one of our board members, Charlotte Miner, years ago, who told me she would love to have all of the arts organizations under one roof on one day so people can be introduced to all of them. So this idea sprung from her original thinking on that.
So where can people learn more about it?
You can go to our website at www.richmondcultureworks.org. I have lots of information on that. And also this week there's a great insert in Style Weekly. It's our 16-page program that we'll be handing out that day to people who come. But if they don't come, they can pick up the free copy of Style and get that insert.
So does it cost anything to attend?
No, it's a free event, uh-huh. And persons who are voting age or older, 18 or older, if they will register as they come in, that means to give their name and their email address, we'll give them a bag in which will be an envelope containing a mystery amount of culture bucks. This is fake money in $1 increments, and in each envelope will be an amount ranging from $10 to $100. They can spend that just like real money. They can buy Richmond Symphony tickets. They can enroll in classes at the Visual Arts Center. They can renew their membership at the Black History Museum. They can buy gift shop items from the Cultural Arts Center at Glen Allen. Use it just like real money. We'll be giving away $75,000 worth of culture bucks to the attendees that day. The organizations will take it for transactions that day. And after the event is over, all of the 70-plus arts and culture organizations will cash it in with CultureWorks for real money. So mm-hmm. We'll be investing $75,000 in those organizations on that day through the hands of the attendees.
Okay. Wonderful. So where does the $75,000 come from?
It comes from our budget.
Uh-huh.
CultureWorks, money we raise. We take that apart.
And this is part of your role of inspiring engagement and appreciation of the arts.
Right. At CultureWorks, we do basically four things. We give grants. Each year we give away about $500,000 in various grant lines.
Mm-hmm. To what sorts of organizations?
We give grants under the CultureWorks grants program to nonprofit arts and culture organizations that have budgets under $500,000 and to individual practitioners of arts and culture.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you quickly about one grant during our very first year. It went to a theater group that proposed to produce live Shakespeare outdoors in the park in the Battery Park community.
Mm-hmm.
By using residents of that community as the production crew. I went to that event. It showed three different nights. They did As You Like It. And when I arrived, there were people sitting there. This is right there near the tennis courts and near the basketball courts and near the playgrounds. And I saw a 12-year-old boy. And I went over and introduced myself, and I said, "How come you're at this event?" And he said, "Well, I live near here, but I'm also part of the production crew." And he showed me what he had done regarding the set. And I said, "How did you find out about this?" He said, "Well, the director, Joe Carlson, saw me playing in the park one day, and he said, 'Have you ever heard of Shakespeare?' And I told him, 'I think I've heard of him.'"
Uh-huh.
He said, "Would you like to help produce a play?" And he said, "Sure." And I asked the young boy how he'd enjoyed it. He said, "Well, I liked it so much that I found out that the middle school I'll be attending next year, Henderson Middle School, has a theater program there, and I'm eager to be involved with that." So
wow.
Here's a kid who had never experienced Shakespeare, is now involved, and will have this as a part of his life. I also sat next to a resident of the Battery Park neighborhood during the production who said he'd been living there 50 years, and he never recalled there being any outdoor production of any type in the park until then. So this is an example of of the arts being vitality tools to make people's lives better.
And community building, getting people in the neighborhood engaged in a performance together.
Yes, indeed.
Wonderful.
But we do, as I was saying, we do four things. We give grants. We act as an advocate if there are issues that touch everyone. And one thing we've been an advocate for is the Community Foundation's Give Richmond website. We've worked hard to get all the nonprofit arts and cultural organizations to have their profiles on that wonderful website. The third thing we do is act as a catalyst and convener. There are occasions when there will be differing opinions about an issue. CultureWorks has become looked at sort of like Switzerland. People will come to our table and talk. One example of a success there is getting the various areas of the city of Richmond to agree that downtown should be the first place for an arts district. And, of course, our city council passed that ordinance just recently. And then the fourth thing we do is provide all sorts of services, not only for practitioners of arts and culture, but for for-profit companies, for government entities, for anyone who has a need related to arts and culture.
Okay, great. And then that website again where people can learn more?
www.richmondcultureworks.org.
Going back to the Culture Expo, tell us a little bit about what somebody can expect when they go there. It sounds like it could be overwhelming when there are how many different arts organizations?
There'll be more than 70.
More than 70. I mean, it's pretty amazing and incredible that there are that many arts organizations in our community that can be represented. But how is one going to kind of walk in and decide where to spend their $10 to $100?
That will be the challenge. There'll be each of the organizations will have a trade show type booth, a 10-foot long, 6-foot deep booth where they will not only display things, but they'll also have lots of wonderful interactive opportunities for you to be engaged with them. You can also talk with them. This will be a very family-oriented event. You can find out opportunities for educational opportunities for your children, et cetera, with each organization. Plus, the organizations are going to have lots of bells and whistles and surprises that we don't even know about yet. There will also be two stages at the event. There will be performances throughout the day by the organizations, and there will be lots of roving activities for everyone. It will be a jam-packed, shoulder-to-shoulder, crowded event.
That sounds fun. How many people do you expect to come?
We're projecting 7,500. You have to know that last year was the first time we did this. We had projected 2,500. It turned out the attendance was well north of 5,000. We didn't count, but the Science Museum told us that was the biggest crowd they'd ever had indoors at the Science Museum. Uh-huh. So because more than 5,000 attended last year, we project that a few more than that will attend
this
year.
As awareness is raised and more people are hearing about it. If you're just joining us, you are listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and today we're hearing from John Bryant, the president of CultureWorks. He's sharing some information about CultureWorks and the upcoming Culture Expo this Saturday, June 23rd, one of the more than 70 arts and culture nonprofits that will be featured at Culture Expo is Podium Foundation. Podium works with local high school students in Richmond City Schools, and you may have seen their product. They put out the annual Podium Journal, which you can pick up for free at local businesses and the library and other such places. So be on the lookout for that. I wanted to share with you an example of some of the powerful work that you could be supporting by attending Culture Expo. We'll hear from Joshua Pelkey, one of the students that is involved with Podium Foundation, and hear a poem that he read to a live audience a couple weeks ago at Huguenot High School.
My name is Joshua Pelkey, and I'm here to present a poem for you. This poem has no title. I've been traumatized and dissatisfied with all the conniving lies we hide inside, to try and free the seed of reality, to be the tree we needed to be. But it's okay, cause today is the day we succeed and be all we can be. So please listen to me when I plead for your forgiveness, to dream and scheme a new life for you and me, cause we need to breathe and believe, and we will achieve the almighty deed of life. And tonight I make it a wonderful sight, so hold tight and embrace the light, for it will always feel right. And decide to fly or die and hide your shame, or boost your name to the insane and complain about the rain, but never rearrange your existence for someone else. Just remain true to you and always be yourself. Thank you.
And now back to John Bryan, president of CultureWorks, the Richmond region's champion for arts and culture. John is speaking about the upcoming Culture Expo, a free, family-friendly event this Saturday at the Science Museum of Virginia.
And the goal of the expo is very simple. It's to make lives better for our Richmond region's residents by enabling those organizations at the expo to be ever stronger. Last year they reported to us that they not only got a little bit of money through these culture bucks, but all of them reported more patrons, more constituents, more ticket buyers, more people signing up for their educational programs. And again, all of these organizations do things that make lives better.
So that's some of the ripple effect that you expect to happen.
Exactly.
Coming out of this one day event. It goes beyond just the one day.
And there'll be a couple of special things that are going to be published on that day, June 23rd. One you'll find in the program. It's a chart of all of these organizations' educational programs with check marks on whether they're after-school programs, whether they're for adults or children, whether they're for this discipline or that, with contact information. So this will be a one-stop shop for anyone who's interested in education through arts and culture for their children or for themselves or for whoever.
Oh, that's a great community resource. And so that'll include information beyond the city as well?
Yes, the whole Richmond region. Also in this program is a long paragraph description about each of the participating arts and culture organizations. There are 70-some-odd of them, along with their contact information and website. So we know that this program will be a take-home, referred to over and over again, resource for
Richmond
region.
Keep it on the coffee
region.
Table.
Right.
So where, again, can you get one of those if you're not able to make it to Culture Expo? Where can you get a program?
It's inserted in Style Weekly the week before the event. Mm-hmm. Style prints about 35,000 copies of those. One other thing that we'll be publishing that day, we've asked the candidates for U.S. Senate from Virginia, the official candidates, and Kane and Allen are the leading candidates right now. We've provided them with six issues related to arts and culture that the U.S. Senate will face in the coming years. And we've asked them to give their thoughts on each of these six issues.
We will publish that
document on that day. It will be released to the public on June 23rd. And also we've invited the candidates to come to the Culture Expo. We've heard from one of the two leading candidates that he will be there. We're waiting word from the other leading candidate. But hopefully this will be an opportunity for those candidates to meet some of their voters and an opportunity for voters to know exactly where they stand on six arts and culture-related issues that will be in front of the Senate.
Just can you briefly, in a nutshell, give us a snapshot of what those six issues are?
I have not memorized all six, but here's a couple of examples.
On
one of them, of course, is funding for the National Endowment for the Arts. Mm-hmm. That's always a question that comes before our U.S. Legislature. So we want to know how they feel on that. Another relates to deductions by artists when they give their personal art forms to nonprofits. As you and a lot of listeners know, when a painter gives a painting that she has painted, there's no deduction. You get to deduct the paint brushes and the tubes of paint. When a musician gives a song that he has written or a performance, there's no deduction. Mm. So this is an issue that is continuing to bubble up in the United States, and there have been various versions of of this so that the creators of artworks, when those artworks become extremely valuable, could get some sort of deduction other than the cost of the tube of paint.
Oh, I see.
But that's another example.
So helping to demonstrate the value of the work that the artists are contributing.
Exactly.
As a charitable donation. It is a charitable donation, and the value right. obviously is more than just the tube of paint. It goes to their recognition as an artist and among other things.
Jason Mraz recently performed at a Spark event at Richmond Center Stage. I don't know the arrangements there, but I suspect he donated his time. Had he been contracted to give his time at some big hall somewhere, he would have gotten a certain fee.
Sure.
But as it is now for him donating his time, there's no tax deduction other than his, you know, gasoline for his car or
right.
or a new string for his guitar or whatever he had to spend out of pocket.
Oh, that's interesting. I really didn't recognize that that's an issue for artists because you hear about artists donating their time and their efforts as well as their good works to so many different causes. I didn't realize that they weren't able to take advantage of that on their tax returns. For those artists that are fortunate enough to earn a living through their art.
Right.
Can you share a little bit more about why you think it's important for people to put a value on a vibrant arts and culture scene in the community, why it really makes a difference?
There are two ways to look at it. One is the art for art's sake way, and those of us who know the arts, that 7% that Eric Booth talked about, all of us know that being involved in arts and culture allows us to understand ourselves better and allows us to understand our world and the other people in the world better, therefore allowing us to have better lives. For persons who don't quite get that, the arts can be wonderful vitality tools, and I'll give you a couple of examples. Our region's leading active life organization, Richmond Sports Backers. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's participated in the Monument Avenue 10K, the 43,000 persons this past year, know that the arts were undeniable vitality tools for that event. There was a band every few blocks, and the arts really made that event come alive. The most recent event, the Go Richmond, where there was a 10K route where you walked, used arts and culture and history venues as the vitality tools to get people out walking that 10K.
So they were doing sort of like a tour of different historic sites and different sites related to culture in Richmond?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So again, the arts and culture need to be valued not only for their own sake, for allowing us, as I said, to understand ourselves and our world better, mm-hmm. but for the way they can be vitality tools. Our city has just passed the ordinance for the Downtown Arts and Culture District.
Mm-hmm.
That's being seen as a major economic driver. There are developers mm-hmm. who have been waiting for that borderline, that geographic area to be codified, who will now start investing in that area because of that.
I'm glad you brought that up because sometimes I hear about people making the argument that arts and culture is just as important as some basic human needs, partially because of the economic development aspect of having a vibrant arts and culture scene in a community.
I was on the Chamber's inner city visit to Boston recently. We heard the Boston mayor talk. There's an area right along the Charles River that was a major business district with the tall business buildings, et cetera. There had been one piece of property carved out by the mayor by making some deals, especially for a major arts facility to be built. And I raised my question and asked him, why did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
He said, that is an important vitality tool for that area. It adds an element that can't be there. That's going to be good for business to have that there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, their mayor says the crane is their national bird in Boston because they're building lots
so
of things.
So many things going up.
Right. But again, he sees the arts as a vital component for all that.
Well, then it sounds like you're not alone in your work with CultureWorks. You have a lot of backers, both locally as well as across the country, with your recent national recognition. Congratulations again on that. And where can people go again to learn more about CultureWorks?
You're good, Elaine. www.richmondcultureworks.org. And on our website, there are links to over 100 nonprofit arts and culture organizations, links to lots of other. There are links to over 20 events calendars in town. You can find lots and lots of stuff on CultureWorks website.
Oh, great. Sounds like a wonderful resource for people to learn more and figure out how they might get involved. So thank you again so much, John Bryan, for taking the time out of your busy day preparing for Culture Expo this Saturday at the Science Museum. I also want to share some thanks to Jay Westerman for helping to engineer the show today and to everyone for listening. This is Elaine Summerfield, and I hope you've been inspired by something you heard here today on Inspire Indeed.
Before closing Inspire Indeed for today, let's get a little bit more inspiration from one of the Richmond City High School students that is involved with the Podium Foundation. Podium Foundation will be one of the over 70 organizations represented at the Culture Expo. And as I mentioned earlier, they put out an annual journal that is created in partnership with Visual Arts Center, which will also be represented at the Culture Expo. Here to read a poem is Miracle Baptiste, and she read this poem in front of a live audience at Huguenot High School a few weeks back when Podium Foundation youth had the opportunity to read their own poems live in public. A reflection of Podium's belief that when youth have a chance to practice their communication skills and are given a forum to share their voices and ideas through artful expression, they'll have a better chance at success in the future.
My poem is called The Average Life of a High School Teenager. Gossip starts as quoting. He said, she said, he's mine, she's mine. You're a follower. You're being led by all the rumors and lies that reside around you. Cliques, gangs, sex, friends, all of them, even y'all. Sometimes I wonder, when or where, how can this be? And then there's a little girl, I would say, waiting on a cloud, waiting on the day when the world will change. Thank you.